Welcome to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast with your host, Audrey McLaughlin.
Welcome to episode 43 of the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. If you're new here, I'm your host, Audrey. So excited you're joining me today. I'm an equine naturopath, energy medicine practitioner, and nutritionist. And I'm so excited in this episode, I talked to Jake from Paddock Blade. Paddock Blade is the coolest little pull behind, like tow behind your four-wheeler, your ATV, your tractor, your lawnmower. And it is a scoop for manure in paddocks. So that lends us to all sorts of amazing benefits for both your land. So having good quality grass for fly control, for overall health, parasite control, all the things. And so we're talking about this particular product and its benefit for your horses. The cool thing is the way this product came about. So I know you're going to love Jake and his family's story and how they are doing business right with this Paddock Blade. And so anytime I find a company that is doing business right, I want to share it with you. So hope you enjoy. Check out the links in the bio so that you, or not in the bio, check out the links in the show notes so that you can get all the information on Paddock Blade and see if it's a good fit for you. Welcome, Jake. I'm so excited to have you. Jake from Paddock Blade, the partner and chief operating officer of this really cool tool that, of course, saves you time, and we'll get into all that. But what I'm more excited about is the impact on the health of the horse and the environment that the horse lives in. So Jake, tell us a little bit about you and Paddock Blade and how you got started.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Audrey. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
I love what you do. I love what you stand for. I think it's a message that needs to be spread more. Having horses is a tough job, as we all know, and their health is a real tough thing to get on top of sometimes as well, particularly around this time of year that we're at the moment, when they're outside a lot and all the kind of problems that goes with that. But I will confess, I may not be your typical guest to this show because I have become a horsey person.
Right.
It's very hard not to become a horsey person when you spend a lot of time around them. But I don't have a depth and breadth of horse knowledge. I'm very upfront about that. And I think to give some context to that, it's good to give the Reader's Digest version of how Paddock Blade came to be, which was 8 years ago at a small farm unit in the UK. As you can tell, for those savvy listeners, that's where I'm from.
Right. It's made in the USA, but you were not. Right?
That's right. Yeah. That might be a new marketing, I think. That's a good line. I like that. So end of 2015, the kind of summer's coming to an end. My father, who is the partner with me in the business, has a small unit at a farm shop, like a small machine shop, on a farm property in Worcestershire in the UK. A friend lady that's there boards her horse there, comes in one day, super frustrated, has been picking up manure all day, getting killed by the heat, getting bitten by horse flies, and he's just had enough of it. So from that, my dad made one. And as I said, that was 8 years ago. And we've just kind of grown very organically, very slowly but steadily by then, to a company that now has served over 5,000 people in three continents and three countries. And we are now in a position where we're growing, and by the end of the year, we'll be in, let's see, 4 to 5 continents, 9 to 12 countries. So we've taken a good bit of time to steadily grow and do it in the right way, a brand that people know they can trust. And as you rightly said, made in the USA. Wherever you buy our products, they're always made locally. We make them in the US, Australia, and the UK as well.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think that's really important for people to know, because it threw me off when I first was looking at it. I was like, wait a minute, it's made where, like, right near where I used to live. But, you know, so I think it's important to help people understand that part of the impact that you have is wherever you are, it is made locally to you. So that just speaks more to even more, growing in the right way and making sure that the impact that you have through the manufacturing and shipping process on the environment itself is, you know, as minimal as possible in that way. Not to mention you bring, you know, jobs to the local economy and all that good stuff. So yeah, I think that's really important.
You've got it. What I like to say is we're a global business with family values, and we keep them values true. Honesty, integrity, you know, authenticity. And for us, you know, we could of course sell out and go cheap overseas, sure. But we back our word with the lifetime warranty, and we wouldn't be happy to do that if we didn't build it locally. And, right. And we do, you know, we like to support the economy, jobs, the industry. We see that, you know, you factor shipping into that as well. It's a sensible business decision, and it's just a good human decision to do
right.
that. It means less profit, of course, but, you know, profit's not the main driver of what we're after. We're here to supply products that work and supply products that make equestrians' lives easier.
Right. So speaking on products that work, then how does Paddock Blade work? How is it used? You know, it looks like a sled. It looks like a fancy sled. In full transparency, I've never used it, but I've seen all the things.
Yeah. Well, no doubt it'd be lovely to do this actually. Maybe hook connect again. And once you have used it, to get a genuine opinion of it. And that's a really nice part one and two to this, I think. But it's a very simple device, and simplicity is its strength. As you've identified, it's a metal sled. You tow behind you. You can tow it with any four-wheeler, ATV, tractor, ride-on mower. And it's just it's about the size of a standard US pallet. So it's kind of 48 wide by 39 deep by 12 inches high. So it can contain 3.5 wheelbarrows. And you just very simply, as quick as you can get it out of the packaging and hook it up, it's ready to go. You tow it behind you through your pasture, and it scoops up everything in its path. Primarily, it is for manure. Mm-hmm. A lot of people use them as a rock picker as well.
I've saw that. I saw people picking rocks and bricks and things with it out of the pasture.
It reduces hoof bruising. And then we've had some pretty out the box methods, applications people have used over the years. Vineyards, picking up fruit, picking up rubbish. Mm-hmm. Some people use them for sports clubs as well. And we've even had people use them at zoos for giraffes and all kinds of,
yeah. That's cool.
It's not fussy, right? It just picks up anything in its path.
It's not
a magic pill. It's a one size suits many product, not a one size suits all. It has some limitations, and those are kind of sand. It won't work well on sand. Pasture, it works seamlessly on. Dry lots, it varies on that top layer and how fine that is. If it's kind of sandy loam or it's fine topsoil, it will have a habit of picking a lot of that stuff up too. We're very honest and upfront about that. It's not going to work for absolutely everyone, but it will work for you if you've got pasture, and it doesn't always need to be super flat. Even on bumpy, undulating, hilly ground, it will pick up about 85 to 90% of what's on the surface.
Nice.
Anything it misses, it'll spread behind, lets the birds and the sun do their job.
Right. And so that was what I was going to ask you guys. You know, obviously your dad put a lot of thought into designing and engineering this product to work the way it does. Do you guys have a lot of knowledge on the impact that you have as far as the environmental impact, right? You know, horse manure prevents good green pasture from growing because it's so dense a lot of the times, especially after it's rained on. Do you guys know how that compares to like dragging a field or harrowing, some people call it, where you just drag and spread the manure out? How does that compare for pasture health for you, for Paddock Blade?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. And it's particularly in the US where a lot of people do harrow and they're happy to spread instead of collect. And it's been working for them for years. And we're never here to tell people that they're doing something wrong. We're just here to go, hey, there is a different way. And you may find that that does improve your pasture quality. It does improve your disease prevention. It does give a happier, healthier environment for the horse. It does, and this is the big one, lower fecal egg counts.
Yes.
Because it's as plain as day. If you're just spreading that stuff around, which, you know, if you've got 10, 15, 20 acres and a couple of horses or a handful, maybe that's not such a problem for you. You can spell rest areas.
Right.
But if you do have a property on the smaller side or a lot of horses on a smaller acreage, then your FSEs are going to be up there. They're going to be up there. And over time, and it will take time, of course, those parasites are going to not certainly, but more than often cause some health problems for the horse. And that's going to lead to bigger vet bills. Now, and I can tell anecdotally from the amount of people we've helped, but I know that you will know more on the science end to that point. You know,
sure.
We're engineers. We're engineers and right. I'm a fantastic marketer, but I am not, and nor do I claim to be an equine nutritionist, therapist, or scientist in that
sure.
regard.
Of course, yeah. And on the health and safety of the horse, you know, I'm not sure if it's the same in the UK. I have a few clients in the UK, Australia, but primarily my client base is in the US, in Canada. But I know that we here in North America, I should say, have a real epidemic of parasites for horses and humans for that matter. But, you know, parasitic infections in horses that can't even be treated at this point with dewormers. They're resistant to several dewormers. And so when we're talking about using something like this, and I agree, if you have a handful of horses on 15 or 20 acres, if you can rotate pastures for long enough, then there's some benefit to spreading manure, if as long as it's not too much collected, but spreading manure, allowing nature to do its job and fertilize the soil and regenerate that pasture. Most people, and most people from small operations, you know, mom and pop backyard horse owners to larger show barns, just don't have the pasture capability to do that these days. It's not uncommon. I can go down the street to a place that raises thoroughbreds for racing. They've got 60 stalls on about 5 acres, right? So they're not doing the right. They don't have enough land to do that kind of regenerative pasture management in that way. So they are manually, you know, and you can drive by and see them manually scooping, you know, manure on a daily basis, and probably still not doing enough to manage those parasites. And then once you get that parasitic load, well, even before that, you know, you have the terrain of the horse and the terrain of the environment that they're in. Both of them have to be on par. And we have this whole shift in movement away from chemical dewormers, which I love. I think they have their place. But if you can maintain the health of your horse internally and the health of their environment, then you can use them less frequently or not at all. And see that demonstrated in egg counts. Anytime I have a client come to me and say, man, you know, I've tried all these herbal wormer products. My fecal egg counts are still high. What am I doing wrong? 95% of the time it's pasture management. They're just not managing their pasture, the manure collection in their pasture. But with the move towards, you know, horses in much smaller environments. And I just did the same thing. I moved from North Texas, South Texas, went from a whole lot of acres to about 15 acres. And so, you know, pasture management is kind of at the top of our deal. What size, is there a size limitation, I guess, is what I'm asking on, what paddock blade is useful for?
That's a fantastic question. We've sold them to people with hundreds of acres, particularly out in Australia, where there's, sure. you know, it's roughly give or take size of the US, but a lot less people. You know, there's more people in California alone than there is in the whole of Australia. So, for those guys, as you've quite rightly cited, it depends what they're doing with the pasture. You know, if they've got, can they spell and rest areas? Can they regenerate areas? If they can, then that's great. There becomes a tipping point as well for a lot of people where they're like, well, it's going to take me that long to get round there. It's going to get that full by the time I've been round there. Is it an efficient solution? Mm-hmm. We've never kind of put a cap on like a top level of acreage. Because it's subjective, it's down to the individual. But what we would say is if you're it's going to save you 70% of your time. So you've got to gauge how long it's taking you manually. You know, if it's taking you, on average, it saves people 3 to 5 hours a week. You add that up over a year, that's six to 10 days a year. It's considerable.
That's like vacation time.
No, I know, right? That's a vacation, yeah. Of course. That's a nice holiday in Hawaii, but it's something that I'd love to pull back to that you cited right at the start of this part of the conversation is worming, right? And it's worming really hasn't, there's been no kind of miracle product or anything kind of new chemical product come on the scene since, if I might stand corrected here, but I think the 70s, maybe the 80s.
And you're
It's no surprise. And it's no secret that the resistance to deworming products has just gone up dramatically and continues to. And these parasites, the pesky things, they're smart. You know, they're resistant to this stuff. And that's a problem within itself. Until someone else comes up with something, which doesn't seem to be on the horizon.
No. There's not a lot of research dollars moving that direction.
You're right. And that's something we are pairing with people in that regard who have the scientific knowledge to actually do case studies to kind of prove the before and afters and the benefits of harrowing versus removing. It's been really interesting to us because in the UK, people get it straight away. But there's a lot smaller areas. Australia, people did tend to, let's say, needed less convincing to why it would be immediately valuable. In the US, we found a lot more resistance with people just going, I just harrow and that's fine. And for us, that's fine too. For us, it's about you having a solution that works for you and provides your horses with a happy, healthy environment. We don't want to change your whole setup. You know, having horses, as you know, Audrey, it's quite, you want to have your setup, everything almost not automated, right? But systems in place and the way in which you do that and the routine. Anything that upsets that can be quite disorientating and I understand why people would want to dismiss it. But, you know, we've written extensive articles on the pros and cons of both. Mm-hmm. It does just depend on your property. There's other uses as well. You can spin the paddock blade around and use it as a trailer, has a towing capacity of 1,000 pounds.
Yes.
It's not the biggest trailer in the world, but a kind of 4 foot wide, 4 foot deep. It sure will carry some bales for you. We've had people put full round bales on there, feed bags. It's great for.
Sure.
And even people, like I said, it doesn't work on sand, but people do spin it around in that trailer mode position to level arenas and menages too.
Yeah. Beautiful. It sounds like it has so many uses. The toting a round bale seems particularly interesting. I can't see how, I'm sure people, I mean, I saw the most interesting thing with a round bale I'd seen to date at the feed store yesterday. So, but I can't see how people get it up onto the paddock blade with that lip, you know, like it takes some heave ho to get it over that lip.
It's a 2-person job. That's for sure.
For sure. Yeah. It usually takes, you know, if it's too muddy, it takes the whole family to roll a round bale out there. If it's too muddy to get the tractor out in the field and that sort of thing.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. So what, you talked about the, you know, of course the environmental impact, the health impact for the horse. So kind of the environment around and then the internal environment of the horse. Is there a benefit to, well, I guess part one is, do you have any suggestions on what people do with their collection with the paddock blade? So I find it interesting, you know, a lot of times when I'm talking to people about why they're not cleaning their paddock, it's because they don't have anything to, like, well, where am I going to put it that makes it better? So that's one question for you that you may not have an answer to that, and that's okay.
No, I sure do. And I'm glad you asked as well. If you play this right, you will allow the product to pay for itself within 18 months to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is you get a really interesting perspective when you sell exactly the same product in three very different parts of the Western world, you know.
Sure.
The Commonwealth, US isn't in the Commonwealth. But now, what a lot of people do in Australia and in the UK, they literally bag it up and they sell it at the side of the road, you know, like with an honesty box system.
Yeah.
Depending on where you live, that may or may not work.
Right. You. Your neighbors may frown on that if you live in there.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, though.
Yeah, it works, right?
Yeah.
You sell it $2, $3 a bag. People need it. They use it for whatever they use it for, typically fertilizer. And within a year to two years, 18 months, 2 years, that thing's paid for itself. Another thing you can do, and what a lot of people do, they make a deal with a local farmer, whether by it's a trade or exchange deal, or it's actually a monetary thing. And they go, hey, look, we're going to collect this stuff. It's going to be in a pile here. Can you come through and collect it once a month for us? And the farmers will use it. They'll mix it with their cow manure and use it in their spreaders on their pasture. So there's that as well. Also, plant growers, plant nurseries, they will also alleviate you of horse manure. They used to call it in medieval times, for any history buffs listening, black gold. And there's a reason they called it that, right? Because it's the most tremendous stuff for helping stuff grow. You could always collect it and spread it at your own place if you're growing and planting stuff as well. Then there's another thing we work with. If anyone's wanting to kind of see video, more videos of our products in action, you will see them on our social medias. It's just Paddock Blade, very simple. But the best place probably to see on a variety of terrains is going to be YouTube. And you will come across a video with a lady called Michelle Mercier, who we filmed a video at her place in Redick, Florida last year. Mm-hmm. Now, she had a boarding, training, breeding facility, about 30 to 40 equines there. Mm-hmm. And it was a, you know, it was a real thing that they needed to keep on top of, because they were kind of, let's say, quarter acre, maybe half acre blocks that they were all in. Mm-hmm. And what they did, the name of the company escapes me at the moment, but it'll come back to me later in the podcast, I'm sure. They rented a dumpster, and the dumpster company, actually what they did, it was a very smart setup. They delivered the dumpster to them full of sawdust for them to use for their stalls. And they actually gave them a reduction in the price of the dumpster that they were renting for it to go back full of manure.
Oh, interesting.
So some of these dumpster companies getting smart. I think they were called All In One Waste. I will get the correct name, maybe we can put it in the show notes afterwards. But yeah, there's some smart dumpster companies out there that will give you a reduction in your bill if you're filling that up. Again, selling it to farmers, using it yourself, or selling it to nurseries. You know, letting it sit there and rot is not optimum. You know, we're doing this, a big part of this is to reduce flies.
Right.
So you just end up with the flies somewhere else.
Right, exactly. Near your neighbor's fence. No,
okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
So I know you said that your goal isn't to necessarily change how people do things. And I love that. I think planting seeds of knowledge is you know, really the best way to convince somebody over time, right? And that, you know, you guys have grown slowly doing that exact thing. One of the reasons why I reached out to you is because, you know, everyone puts the good testimonials on their website, which y'all's are phenomenal, but you can go on your social media and y'all's testimonials and your attention to customer service is outstanding. Is there anything else that you would want people to know about Paddock Blade, about your company, about, you know, you and your dad, however that may be?
Yeah, I'm kind of a plumber by trade is actually what I am, but an entrepreneur by choice. And that started for me on the playground selling, you know, Mars bars and candy to the other kids. So it's like it's always been there in my heart. And when my dad made this and it started taking off, I was actually in Australia at the time for 7 years. And he said, why don't you give it a go there? And it took off from there. And we launched in America last year, and it's just absolutely flew. So, and it was at that time when I kind of pulled away from plumbing and leaned into this full time. And I think that it's the thing I continue, as I said earlier, we're a small family company, but with a global presence, but we keep those small company values, right? So honesty, authenticity, integrity. And another thing that we do is we don't just please our customers. We aim to amaze them with exceptional customer service before, during, and long after they've purchased. Because in a world where everyone's buying stuff online all the time and you just get that cookie cutter email a week after you've purchased, you know, thanks for your purchase, can we have a review? Where we tend to do a lot more than that. It's a lot more of a one-on-one service with us. It's an investment at the end of the day. It's a $1,500 product. It's not a cheap product. It's a considerable purchase. It's one that a lot of people are going to speak about with their significant others, their business partners, the other people that are at their property. And we know that. We respect that. We do make it easier for people to purchase by having a range of financing options. Some of them are no or very low interest. Right. So, but one thing you guys should know about us is that we have a full suite of products that are going to be released to the market very soon, and they are all going to be along the same lines of time and effort saving for the equestrian. Yeah. So keep an eye on us, because if you like the Paddock Blade, which was our flagship product and has been for the past 8 years, we've made sense to grow steadily and slowly but strongly. Yeah. And if you like what we're already doing, then you're going to love what we've got for you.
Awesome. That's very, I can't wait to see what else you guys are coming out with. Are they designed by your dad?
Yeah. Everything awesome. Is designed so cool. by us in-house, which enables
My dad's an
us
engineer,
to,
so there it, you go. You know, yeah,
and it's no so wonder cool. that we're both here today at all, is it?
Yeah.
And for that reason, because everything's done in-house, we can do, you know, customize things and customize jobs for people. Yeah, and we do that as well if people want to like a more of a custom job, their own logo on something.
Very cool. And, you know, I haven't mentioned, you know, of course, the algorithm is very, very smart. So when you start nosing around with Paddock Blade, you're going to be shown other products that mm-hmm. are lower in price. But just knowing and understanding what's gone into y'all's business, what the values that you stand for, you know, hopefully people understand that the clear choice here for this instrument is Paddock Blade and not, you know, something else. And you can actually see a comparison. I think it was on your website of, you know, like side by side why you would choose Paddock Blade. But I think for at least my clients, the people that I deal with in the horse industry, luckily enough that they see the value in the kind of values that you guys have, you know, with that family owned business and your environmental care and all the things that you guys are doing to not just go out there and, you know, flood the market and rake in all the cash and then leave. Right. So, I think that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, what do they say? Imitation is the best form of flattery. And we've been doing this a long time and we've seen a lot of these copycats pop up. They come, they go, they don't last, but they're all trying to make a fast buck. And none of them are made locally. So, but we're not, look, everyone's, of course, everyone has a fair shot at business. And, sure. and so they should. And I'm not here to tear anyone else's building down. We just focus on building ours higher.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with that as well. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, is there any last words? We're going to share all the links for Paddock Blade. For Jake has his own podcast, which is super cool and inspirational. So I'll put the links there for that.
Gordon's going to come on.
Yes, I'm going to come. I'm going to come talk about, I think, not horse things, it sounds like, which is a little bit like, oh, but.
How do you think I felt before the podcast? I'm just an honest guy, right? So I don't BS at all. If I don't know something, I don't know. I'll find it out. But it's, I guess the only other thing I'd say is thank you. Thank you for giving me your time and your energy today. I love your show. I've learned a lot in myself through listening to some of your shows. And there's actually some really interesting things we can talk about along some of the subjects we talk about with our future products we've got coming. A lot of them are going to be along the kind of horse therapy lines and making that easier.
Oh, that's
so,
cool.
Yeah. Look out.
I love a gadget, so I'm excited.
So. Yeah, look out, guys, because Audrey is definitely going to be coming on my podcast, Hunger for the Hustle, it's called. You can check that out. But in the meantime, you can just a quick Google search of Paddock Blade. You'll find us everywhere. We're pretty hard to miss.
It's real easy, paddockblade.com. So y'all definitely check it out. I'll link it in the show notes, all that good stuff. So Jake, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, God, I know you're about to close out. There's one thing I would like to say. If you are watching this and you have doubts about whether it will work on your property, just flick us an email, give us a call. Both of those details are on our website. It will usually be me who you speak to, and we're more than happy to run through that to make sure it's right for you before you go ahead.
Absolutely. And I'll speak from experience. I sent an email and got a response, I think on a Sunday, and I'm not promising weekend responses for for all clients and customers around the world, but I was very impressed with the speed at which I was responded to. And, you know, like I said, if you go to their Facebook pages, you can just see over and over and over again that, you know, every question is answered in the most mindful way. It speaks volumes about what you guys have created here.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jake, thank you so much for joining us. Guys, go to paddockblade.com, check out the show notes, make sure that you click on all the links and things, subscribe to the podcast that Jake does as well. And we will see you next time.
Thank you, Audrey. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. Ratings and reviews are always appreciated. We'll catch you in the next episode.